agrees with you. I haven't seen one public health official say, you know what, testing is overrated. The importance of widespread testing is like the one thing they all agree on. So Trump doesn't think we need that much testing, or at least he doesn't think you need that much testing. He and everyone around him, of course, have a completely different standard.
Everybody traveling has been tested. We have great testing. And literally, they've been tested over the last hour. And the test result comes back in 5 minutes. We have great testing, or they wouldn't be allowed to travel with me. So they're all tested. Everybody traveling on the plane.
Oh, I see. So ordinary Americans being forced back to work can't get tested, but you and everyone around you can. And look, I get that he's the president. He's going to get tested before everyone else. But the point is not that the president shouldn't get tested. It's that if he wants to force working people back into the economy prematurely in the middle of a deadly pandemic, he should make sure everyone else can get tested too. But Trump doesn't actually care about that. In fact, he went to the Honeywell factory without a mask to create the illusion that everything is fine and we can all get back to normal.
This is going to go away without a vaccine. It's going to go away, and we're not going to see it again, hopefully, after a period of time. You may have some flare-ups, and I guess, you know, I would expect that. Sometime in the fall, you'll have flare-ups, maybe. Maybe not. But according to what a lot of people say, you probably will. We'll be able to put them out. You may have some flare-ups next year, but eventually it's going to be gone. It's going to be gone. You know, there are some viruses and flus that came and they went for a vaccine. They never found the vaccine, and they've disappeared. They've never shown up again. They die, too, like everything else. They die, too.
Holy your strategy for dealing with coronavirus is eventually everything dies?
Look, I'm no political scientist, but I'm guessing killing voters in an election year is going to be awkward at best. But Trump has a plan for that. A senior official predicted Trump will soon begin publicly questioning the death toll as it closes in on his predictions for the final death count and damages him politically. So he's going to question whether the deaths actually happened. He's gone from being a birther to a deather. And if there was any justice, he'd be a lifer. And denying the deaths of Americans is next level cruel. It's also not going to work. They'll be gone. People will notice. What's he going to do?
Billy, sit down. I need you to be a strong little soldier because I have some bad news about your grandpa. He was never real. All your memories of him were implanted. Now take this red pill. It's Adderall, and it's fantastic. You'll be able to drive a nail with your eyeball.
So, who's going to sell Trump's message of, I don't see dead people? It's none other than Trump 2020 campaign manager and baby chick who just set the barn on fire, Brad Parscale. This morning, Parscale tweeted, for nearly 3 years, we've been building a juggernaut campaign, Death Star. It is firing on all cylinders, data, digital, TV, political, surrogates, coalitions, etc. In a few days, we start pressing fire for the first time.
Rebel base in range.
You may fire when ready.
Commence primary ignition.
First of all, Brad, it's refreshingly honest of you to say you're the people in Star Wars that were designed after the Nazis. But have you seen the movie? Spoiler, it doesn't end great for the Death Star. And I'm going to go ahead and say that a deadly pandemic is maybe not the best time to associate yourself with something that kills the population of an entire planet. And if anything, Trump is the opposite of Darth Vader. He won't wear a mask, and I'm pretty sure his line would be...
Eric, I'm not your father.
But I have to admit, it would make a catchy new campaign shirt. Trump 2020, objectively bad with easily exploitable design flaws. Trump spent the weekend tweeting about how Barack Obama committed the biggest political crime in history,
So one reporter asked the obvious question.
What crime exactly are you accusing President Obama of committing, and do you believe the Justice Department should prosecute him?
Obamagate. It's been going on for a long time. It's been going on from before I even got elected, and it's a disgrace that it happened. Some terrible things happened, and it should never be allowed to happen in our country again.
What is the crime exactly that you're accusing him of?
You know what the crime is. The crime is very obvious to everybody. All you have to do is read the newspapers, except yours.
It was a horrible crime. Everybody knows the crime. Crime committed against me. You don't have a clue. But if you look at the clues, it was Mr. Black in the conservatory with the lead pipe to Colonel Mustard Stain.
Trump also threw a hissy fit after getting challenged by two female reporters, then took his lack of balls and went home.
Go ahead, please.
I've said many times that the U.S. is doing far better than any other country when it comes to testing.
Yes.
Why does that matter? Why is this a global competition to you if every day Americans are still losing their lives and we're still seeing more cases every day?
Well, they're losing their lives everywhere in the world. And maybe that's a question you should ask China. Don't ask me. Ask China that question, okay? When you ask them that question, you may get a very unusual answer. Yes, behind you, please.
Sir, why are you saying that to me specifically?
I'm telling you. I'm not saying it specifically to anybody. I'm saying it to anybody that would ask a nasty question like that.
That's not a nasty question.
Please go ahead.
Why does it matter?
Okay. Anybody else? Please, go ahead in the back, please.
I have two questions.
No, it's okay.
But you pointed to me. I have two questions, Mr. President.
Next. Next, please.
But you called on me.
I did, and you didn't respond, and now I'm calling on...
Sorry, I just wanted
the young lady in the back, please.
I just wanted to let my colleague finish, okay. But can I ask you
ladies
a
and gentlemen, please? Thank you very much. Appreciate
but
it. Thank you very much. Thanks for the song
from Lucinda Williams, Swedemason, Noradian, Chaudhry, Matt Saywood, Joe Gilmore, Golden Earring,
thanks to
Rod Serling, Rudy Giuliani, Cartman, Richard Nixon, Anthony Fauci, Steve Schmidt, J.L. Corvin, Brian
Williams,
Stephen Colbert, Chuck Todd, Kevin Hassett, Peter Alexander, Kaylee McEnany, Seth Myers, Will Huff, Tarkin, Darth Vader, Luke Skywalker, Han
Solo,
Philip Rucker, Wagia Jiang, Caitlin Collins.
Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.
It's a tremendous white MAGA hat day. This is like the best day. I told you the country was going to reopen. I said it was going to reopen. And a lot of you said, no, it's going to. It's happening, okay? We are partially reopening Mar-a-Lago, my great property in Florida, thanks to the great leadership, by the way, of a very talented governor, Ron DeSantis. We love this guy. He's doing great things. And so we're reopening it partially. Whites only is going to be the partial reopen, okay? And it's okay. It's not, excuse me. No. You're asking a nasty question. Racist? Is that a race? It's not a racist policy. I'm the least racist person in this room for sure, because some of you have said some very nasty things about great blacks like Candace Owens and Angry Hootie, the sheriff from Wisconsin. That's what we call him, Angry Hootie. You've said nasty things about these great blacks just because they support me and, like, hate their own people. And that's okay. They're allowed to. It's like the N-word. Whites can't say it. But if the blacks hate each other, you can't do anything about it. It's just like, it's like the rap albums. Okay? But Mar-a-Lago is open, partially, for health. We're not letting the groups that are getting, like, sicker in at first. It's a total, you say, listen to the doctors. Sir, you should listen to Fauci and Burks with their scarves. But now we're listening. And they say these communities of color, you heard this phrase? They're getting affected more, so we're asking them nicely. We're doing it very nicely. Mike, didn't I say to that Mexican man to get the hell off of my Mar-a-Lago property. Please. I said, please. Mike knows. I said, please. Not to you. I won't say please to you. You're nasty. But we're reopening it. Mexican and black staff can come. They have to maintain 60 feet social distancing. But that was always the policy at Mar-a-Lago. So nothing's changed there. So it's not racist. It's called a celebration. White MAGA hat. Mar-a-Lago. Partial reopen.
As I walk through this wicked world, searching for light in the darkness of insanity, I ask myself, is all hope lost? Is there only pain and hatred and misery? And each time I feel like this inside, there's one thing I wanna know. What's so fun about peace of an understanding? What's so fun about peace of an understanding?
As I walked on through troubled time, my spirit gets so downhearted sometimes. So where are the strong? Who are the trusted?
An opportunity here to establish a $200 billion Heroes Fund which will provide for bonuses for hazard pay because people have really put their lives on the line. There is also an opportunity here to address the hospitals and nursing homes, healthcare facilities, our mental health service providers with a $100 billion fund that will go towards additional relief for those institutions. We have $75 billion that will go toward additional testing, tracing, and treatment, a three-pronged approach that will speak to not only containing the virus, but identifying with requirements for study and reporting that will enable us to see the demographic profiles of where this disease is impacting us in the country and to which population. So a lot of work done here to go forward with efforts that respond to various institutions and organizations, including our Postal Service, which receives an amount of investment here with this bill that will enable them to continue to deliver mail, which also responds to deliveries of medications for many of our shut-ins. So this is an inclusive bill that really responds to, again, our lives and our livelihood. It is keeping us as a nation strong and functioning. And these are essential workers that provide essential services that make our quality of life what we expect it to be. We as Americans are a tough group. We are determined, we are resilient. This responds to the great bravery, the courage, and certainly the resilience that people have shown as we've worked through these several weeks and months combating this pandemic. It is far from over. We hope the testing and the accuracy of contact tracing and treatment will enable us to achieve the final goals of conquering this very, very challenge of our lifetime. This legislation responds with appropriate support to those who have led us through these challenging times, those who have put their lives on the line so that we can enjoy the essential services, receive the essential services we require. So it is about providing assistance to states which provide essential services, to our cities, our counties, our local governments that make our daily activities, our quality of life, what it is. And it's certainly about providing the resources and the guidance, the efforts to assist our hospitals, our nursing homes, and our mental health service providers, those facilities, those healthcare institutions that are in the midst of responding to the individual treatment that obviously is required by far too many.
You mentioned some statistics about the death totals, the case numbers.
Sure. Nearly 87,000 people have succumbed to COVID-19 virus, and some 1.4 plus million cases have been determined. And so it tells us, those numbers are staggering, and it continues to challenge us as we, as a nation, respond to this pandemic.
Thank you, Congressman. And for those uninitiated, the chimes behind the congressman are known as the Capitol bells, and they signal that votes are upcoming. So, Congressman, do we have just a couple of minutes to take a few questions before?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We need to vote shortly, but they're doing it in alphabetical sequence with clustering of members that will hopefully be masked as they go to the floor to vote.
I have a question.
Hey, Dan
Azell here from Spectrum News. Quick question for you. I understand that Senator Mitch McConnell has been doing the rounds talking about this bill. And he said that we need to take a pause on more of those funds, of those relief packages. So what does that mean for this bill in the Senate?
I think that basically as this is unveiled and when people realize the assistance that's provided, they'll see it as critical and essential. And I think like any development of public policy, I'll reach back to the days of Abraham Lincoln, who always said that this is driven by public sentiment. And I think public sentiment here will challenge our counterparts in the United States Senate to respond accordingly. I think that there will be growing support when people recognize what relief is provided, our states and local governments, our hospitals, our nursing homes, our mental health providers. When they see that assistance, when they see the assistance for hazard fund, for those who have really embraced enormous amounts of courage, they'll respond favorably and they'll advance, I think, their support for this legislation. Just as an individual congressman, I have heard from several who work in local government, people who maintain our water and sewer systems, people who are there as caseworkers, providing essential social services for families, healthcare workers, certainly frontline people who have been in the midst of this pandemic, from teachers, from firefighters, from police officers. People have been reaching out to us, understanding that, you know, when we look at state governments, it might look like an accounting ledger, but when you break it down to the human element, it's essential human services, and it's provided by professionals out there who have been really, really heroes, as the act would designate, and they need to be responded to. I would share, too, with, I think it's an important stat, while this is a major bill that provides resources from many, many perspectives, there is, to the local government element, a total of $1.3 billion estimated to come into the capital region. And so that relief at the local level translates into continuation of essential services and the relief to potential relief to the property taxpayer.
This is Emily from the Albany Times Union. And I wanted to ask about the funding for childcare in this bill, Congressman. Many House Democrats pushed for $50 billion to support childcare as these businesses have been closed and people rely on them and need them to be able to get back to work through reopening. But I understand that the HEROES Act only includes $7 billion for childcare, and some Democrats expressed disappointment in that. I was wondering if Speaker Pelosi has addressed that in caucus conversations about why only $7 billion was included on that provision, and how you think that sets you up to negotiate on childcare funding with the Senate.
Well, I think you raise an important concept of putting a bill together. You know, I hope my colleagues and I don't reject it for what's not in there, but really respect it for what is in there. I too would like to see much more for childcare because of the reasons you cited, but they try to contain within certain parameters the amounts that we provide for the given elements of the bill. This is not the last iteration, I got to believe. There will be other concepts coming down the road because we are in the midst of a pandemic. And so we will measure what assistance that is provided in this bill will do. And if it falls far short, I am confident that we'll be there with additional funds that will make up for that shortfall. But childcare becomes an essential bit of funding and a resource for working families in this country who are impacted by the need for quality childcare opportunities.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, sir. Andrea, you had a question.
Hello, Congressman. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
This is Andrea Cunliffe from the Sanctuary for Independent Media in Troy, New York, WOOC radio station. I'm curious about where we will find the funding for this bill. There's so many things that are needed in this country, and I know we have a financial problem. So how will we be able to fund this bill?
Well, you know, the efforts through all of this pandemic will come to that payment mechanism. And we'll be working for a very progressive formula. Obviously, you know, the efforts in the House have expressed our ideals, our values for America's working families. And that moment will come. But for now, there is no way that we can afford not to do something. This is about keeping the nation afloat. It's about responding to our lives and our livelihoods. And that is the important driving force with this legislation. And the two houses and the two parties on the Hill will make it their job to, in, I hope, a progressive fashion, come together with the payment for what we have here. But right now, the thinking is we cannot afford not to invest in our families.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andrea. Congressman, any concluding thoughts?
No, I'm looking forward to casting a vote in favor of the legislation today. It's taken a lot of work, several conferencing calls with technology assisting us in that effort, repeated opportunities to work with all of my colleagues to add to the bill, to offer your sentiments, to exchange the testimonies that I've received, that we've received in our office. I'm just grateful for all the input that we would have received from the district that had advanced this notion of assistance for our communities and for our heroes. And it'll be a proud moment to cast a vote to keep us afloat. This nation needs to understand, the leadership in Washington needs to understand, this is a national challenge. It deserves and requires a national response, a national strategy, and a national commitment. And this is a part of that commitment and that respect that is shown to each and every person that has maintained the operations of this country in the midst of one of the most challenging, if not the most challenging times this country has had.
Thank you, sir. So I'll just add thank you to everyone for joining us this morning. Congressman, we should let you go cast that vote. Thanks, everybody.
Somebody in the House say yeah. If y'all really like to rock the funky beats, somebody in the House say hell yeah. Yeah. I like that from the people up top. Check this out.
Yo, I can't believe they got the PE in court before the judge on some nonsense. I got the S1s ready. Chuck Flame, what's up?
Court, now in court, cause I stole a beat. This is a sampling sport, but I'm giving it a new name. What you hear is my PE. You know the time. Now what in the heaven does a jury know about hell if I took it? But they just look at me like, hey, I'm on a mission. Check it out, y'all. Conditions ain't right. Sitting like dynamite. Going to blow you up and it just might. Blow up the bench in judge the courtroom. Plus, I gotta mention, this court is dismissed when I grab the mic, yo, Flame.
What is this? What y'all think y'all doing bringing us to court for this guy and saying we stealing beats? Y'all can't copyright no beats, man. Yo, judges, they crazy, man.
Get hype. Come on, we gotcha. Gather around, gotcha. Mail from the courts in jail. Claims I stole the beats that I ran. Look at how I'm living like. If they're gonna check the mic, right, side. Come on, cause I'm living low, lower than low. What a sucker know. Found this mineral that I call a beat. Pay zero, pack the low cause it's better than gold. People don't ask the price cause it's sold. They say that I sample, but they should sample this, my pitbull. We ain't going for this, they say that I stole this. Can I get a witness? Understand where we're going. Then listen to this plus my rolling. Coming from down from below, be bound. Come on, boost up the stereo. Snakes in the morning, wake up scared, afraid of my warning. They claim that I'm violent, now I choose to be silent. Can I get a witness?
Yo, Griff, move the S1s out on the judge and the jury, hold them hostage. Time for Terminator X to step in and show him that he's in effect, boy.
Playing this on the radio, most of you will demand this. Won't be on the playlist, plus the way that I say this, no sellout.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, fellas, you think we're gonna sell out?
Nah, man.
I said, do you think we're gonna sell out?
No,
just cause we ain't caught. Yo, Play, you think we're gonna sell out?
I know if we do, we get the hell out.
Uh huh. Yo, Grip, you and the S1s, do you think we're gonna sell out?
No, not this day and time,
yeah.
My brother.
Uh huh. Terminator X. As you sing your sensor songs to the mindless, your general subject love is minimal. It's sex for profit. Scream that I sample. Example time you ran to the federal.
court in the U.S., it don't mean you.
Yeah, cause they fronted on you.
The posse's ready. Terminator X, yes, he's ready. The S1W script, are you ready?
S1 step.
Yo, Chuck, we ready, man.
Come on, y'all. Here we go again. X.
Armageddon, been in effect.
Hey, they say that we stole this. I rebel with a raised fist. Can we get a witness? Hey,
yeah, that's
come on.
This is Peter Holzapfel, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Acre.
Hay acciones cotidianas para ayudar a prevenir la propagación de enfermedades respiratorias. Lávese las manos. Evite el contacto cercano con las personas enfermas. Evite tocarse los ojos, la nariz y la boca. Quédese en casa cuando esté enfermo. Cúbrase al toser o estornudar. Limpie y desinfecte de manera frecuente los objetos que toca. Para obtener más información, visite cdc.gov/COVID-19. Este mensaje es gentileza de la National Association of Broadcasters y de esta estación.
Wave Farm programs are made possible, in part, by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of Governor Andrew Cuomo and the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program administered in Greene County by the Greene County Council on the Arts, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the Foundation for Contemporary Arts, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Stella Yoon of Hillsdale, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
You are listening to Transmission Arts Programming on WGXC 90.7 FM.
On South Dakota's Sioux reservations, checkpoints save lives. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. A standoff over safety and sovereignty is intensifying in South Dakota. Two indigenous tribes there, the Cheyenne River Sioux and the Oglala Sioux, established checkpoints on roads leading into their territories, ensuring all those seeking entry onto tribal lands are traveling for an approved essential reason and don't exhibit symptoms of COVID-19. On Friday, Republican South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, one of only eight governors nationally who refused to issue a stay-at-home order, demanded they remove the checkpoints or face state government intervention. The checkpoints remain in place.
The main purpose of these checkpoints is to keep our people safe.
The checkpoints remain in place. Harold Frazier is the chairman of the Cheyenne River Sioux. He spoke on the Democracy Now! NewsHour.
You know, with our population, with our lack of medical facilities, things like that, we know, and we just look to our relatives to the south, the Navajo Nation, and see what's going on there, and that could easily be us.
Frazier was commenting on the massive COVID-19 outbreak on the Navajo Reservation. The Cheyenne River Sioux Reservation has 8 beds in its clinic and no intensive care unit. The nearest hospital in Rapid City is 3 hours away. Oglala Sioux Tribe President Julian Bearrunner explained his decision to create checkpoints in a Facebook Live video.
Governor Noem miscalculates our level of dedication to protect our most vulnerable people from crony capitalism thrust to force us to open our economy as they chose to do so. There is no way to place a value on what we have to lose if we let them insult us this way. My relatives, we have been here for millions of years. Whatever they brought to our lands has proven to be poison.
South Dakota Governor Noem is a staunch ally of President Trump and a frequent guest on the right-wing Fox News channel. Applauding the largely white, heavily armed groups protesting stay-at-home orders in several state capitals in April, Noem told Fox News host Laura Ingraham,
So many people give up their liberties for just a little bit of security, and they don't have to do that.
Even though South Dakota currently has one of the fastest growing infection rates in the United States, Noam is promoting a return to normal, risking a surge of COVID-19 deaths. Sioux Falls, South Dakota is home to a massive Smithfield Foods slaughterhouse where 3,700 workers process close to 20,000 hogs daily. That plant became the most intense COVID-19 hotspot in the country. Of South Dakota's 3,723 confirmed positive cases and 39 deaths, over 3,000 of them and 34 of the deaths are from Minnehaha County, home to Sioux Falls and the Smithfield meatpacking plant. Governor Noam rejected pleas from local elected officials, workers, and union leaders to close the plant, relenting only when the outbreak became too huge to ignore. Then, on April 28th, President Trump signed an executive order invoking the Wartime Defense Production Act, preventing state and local governments from closing meatpacking plants. The Smithfield plant reopened on May 7th. The number of coronavirus infections is still climbing. Governor Noam said in a statement, "Our back-to-normal plan doesn't include new government programs, more red tape, prescriptive phases, tight controls, or anything of the like." She added, "Our plan continues to put the power of decision-making into the hands of the people where it belongs," unquote. Noam's stalwart defense of liberty, however, stops at the reservation boundaries. She supports armed white vigilantes who threaten Democratic governors in states like Wisconsin. But if Native Americans dare to protect public health on their sovereign territory, Governor Kristi Noem suddenly becomes a big fan of big government. The checkpoints work, by the way. One person stopped responded that they'd been in a known COVID-19 hotspot, which tribal authorities duly noted. Not long after, she reported feeling ill and within 8 hours had a positive COVID-19 test result. Tribal health officials perform rapid contact tracing and quarantine those who had been near the infected individual. The data collection at the checkpoint expedited the response and hopefully prevented further spread of the virus. The Oglala Sioux have just reported their first case this week and immediately imposed a reservation-wide one-day curfew. These two tribes, part of the Osheti Shakwan people, are no strangers to the depredations of white settlers. Sitting Bull observed in 1877, quote, "The love of possessions is a disease in them." He added, "They claim this mother of ours, the earth, for their own use and fence their neighbors away from her and deface her with their buildings and their refuse. All this is sacrilege," he said. The Cheyenne River and Oglala Sioux are doing all they can to stop the coronavirus from impacting the reservations. Their efforts at self-protection and mutual aid themselves are spreading, however. The Omaha Nation, not far to the south in Nebraska, has just established checkpoints of its own. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
German measles, Russian flu, Montezuma's revenge. And why do we say a foreign word whenever someone sneezes?
Tomorrow, I'll take a look at swine flu, up close and personal. This is Les Nesbitt.
And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets. Joshua said unto the people, "Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city."
Jesus.
States Air Force Institute for National Security Studies. Acoustic bullets. High power, very low frequency waves emitted from 1 to 2 meter dishes results in blunt object trauma from waves generated in front of target. Effects range from discomfort to death. A Russian device that can propel a 10 sonic hertz bullet the size of a baseball hundreds of yards is thought to exist.
And the walls came tumbling
Colonel Walter Manley, and I am the living spirit of the Jericho Institute, where we use sound creatively in the production of non-lethal weapons designed to save lives by changing the hearts and minds of our adversaries. During the Vietnam War, we still confused sonic power with high volume. For example, in the so-called urban funk campaign, where we mounted supersized oscillators onto attack helicopters and blasted Victor Charlie with heavy metal at around 120 dB. We called that weapon the Curdler, and it was a very primitive system. But we also used high-frequency nighttime wailing sounds in a weapon we called the Wandering Ghost, intended to spook the Viet Cong by playing on certain Buddhist beliefs. And that weapon was a big step forward, because we came to realize there is no sound more powerful than the one that conquers your true heart with deep vibrations.
Joshua, fight me back.
Shofar, which is a purified sound because the priests who blew the horns had been purified. And so in blowing that horn, they have something of that sacred wind of God, ruach, I think is the Hebrew word, with which God breathed the life into Adam. So once you've harnessed the power of God through the purity of the priests, there's no telling what power might come out of it. And the power to knock down an adversary's city wall seems small compared to the things that might be done by the might of God.
Deference tones. Devices which can project a voice or other sound to a particular location. The resulting sound can only be heard in that location.
This is Bill Arkin. I'm NBC News military analyst, newspaper columnist, and author of the forthcoming book, Codenames, Deciphering U.S. Military Plans and Operations in the 9/11 World. Proponents of acoustic weapons would say to you that they are as old as biblical times. But let's be real. These are highly engineered, modern digital weapons that take advantage of our greater knowledge both of the workings of the human ear and the human brain, as well as make use of sophisticated technologies to be able to project sound both over long distances and also over incredible decibel levels. And I don't think there's any real relationship between the weapons which are being developed today and those that existed in biblical times. But I think that the reference to that is to it's at least suggest that the use of sound is something that is itself as old as war.
Vayitkeu b'shofarot v'yehi kishmoam et kol hashofar.
Polysound, loud music used by American forces to drive Noriega from the Vatican Embassy.
Here at the Jericho Institute, ultimately, what we are talking about is a weapon that uses subharmonic infrasound, amplified by the power of evangelical Christian faith, to summon and deploy a voice that sounds like it's coming from right inside your head, but also sounds like it is coming from everywhere else. A voice that comes from everywhere and nowhere, from everyone and no one. And when you hear it, you will obey, no matter what it says, because the real weapon that brought down those walls of Jericho was the voice of God.
From the early origins of Western civilization, sound is closely associated with magic. Much of this is forgotten or nearly forgotten. One well-known surviving example is the magical incantation, Abracadabra. The point here is that the widespread belief is that the right vocal utterance can bring about some physical manifestation or life or even bring the universe into existence. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, which says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." The interesting thing is that he had to create light. He didn't have to create sound. Sound was pre-existing. This continues with the creation of Adam in Genesis 2, verse 7, which in my translation said, "Then the Lord breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." But if you look at the Targum, that translates the phrase "a living soul" as a speaking spirit. So my point here is to connect sound with breath and with wind and with spirit. And it's interesting to me that the Hebrew word for breath and wind and spirit is the same, ruach. That idea of sound and magic continues in religion today, because many religious people believe that prayers uttered aloud have magical powers to influence life and even to change the course of history.
And the walls came tumbling down.
The development of modern exotic weaponry, those weapons in the areas of the new physical principles of microwaves, lasers, and acoustic beams, began sometime after the end of Desert Storm, the first Gulf War, an era where it was pretty clear that peacekeeping was going to be a major function of the Western militaries. And there was a recognition that the tools were not available in order to do those jobs. If somehow non-lethal weapons could be developed that would enhance the ability of soldiers to conduct peacekeeping operations, then the notion was that certainly those weapons should be developed and should be deployed.
True sound of all true sounds. True voice of all true voices. True God of all true gods, Lord, hear our prayer. Lord,
hear our prayer. I'm troubled by two aspects. One, that there is a suggestion that the introduction of this kind of exotic weaponry is somehow going to change the nature of warfare, somehow be able to leapfrog over some of the immutable rules of warfare. I think that kind of thinking, the shock and awe thinking, if you will, is what brought us to where we are today in Iraq. That there's a silver bullet, that we're going to win quickly, we're going to win so overwhelmingly, we're going to employ our high technology in such a way that the rules of warfare are going to be set aside.
And they shall know for all time the true voice of the one true King. Lord, hear our prayer.
There has been a strong push to develop some kind of a means of protecting sensitive installations, nuclear weapons bunkers, for instance.
Squawk box, crowd dispersal weapon, field tested by the British Army in Ireland in 1973.
By placing a very powerful acoustic alarm, if you will, inside of a nuclear weapons bunker, one that is capable of causing such excruciating pain.
It produces giddiness, nausea, or fainting.
So excruciating that you would not be able to penetrate the area that was being protected.
The beam is so small that it can be directed at specific individuals.
At the Jericho Institute, we like to think of America's deep and abiding Christian faith as one of our most strategically potent natural resources. We have extensive prayer networks throughout the Bible Belt and elsewhere, and our objective is to synchronize the latent vibrational power of these faith networks with an infrasonic sound that formally replicates the voice of God in terms of its frequency range and overall acoustic envelope. We call this process charging the airspace, a process that resembles rubbing on the magic bottle until the genie comes out. Ladies and gentlemen, God is there to hear our prayer. Now, it is true that the previous assumption was that God had to make the first move from an acoustical perspective, as in, for example, when he says, "Let there be light," and there was light. But we believe that if we can create the right acoustic and provide the appropriate vibrational context, it will be possible to actually produce the voice of God in a faith-based conflict whereby God is on our side.
When Joshua's priests marched around Jericho blowing their shofars, I believe they were harnessing God's power. They were transforming it into a frightful military weapon through the purity of the priests. And Joshua could harness his power, part of the frightful secret workings of this weapon. It was like ancient magic, not so different from the secret of the atomic bomb itself. The workings of particle physicists are often seen as a modern extension of alchemy, and scientists could be seen as the modern priests who manipulate these mysterious great powers.
Sound source. Infrasound from nonlinear superposition of two ultrasound beams. Effects. Intolerable sensations. Targets. Riot control. Sound source. Very low frequency noise. Effects: disorientation, vomiting fits, bowel spasms, uncontrollable defecation. Targets: enemy troops.
Yes, I'm excited. I'm excited because it appears that we may get a chance to test our system real soon. And it turns out this test may take place not far from those old walls at Jericho.
The troubling aspect to me of these sonic weapons, acoustic weapons, sound weapons, and this type of exotica is that there is also a contention on the part of the proponents that the physical principles associated with the application of the weaponry needs to be secret because countermeasures could be developed.
We are at the dawn of a new era for military history, marked by the dominance of a weapon system based on the most powerful sound in the universe. Joshua shouted, "Glory!" And the walls came tumbling down.
Most of these programs are rather elliptical and vaporous, difficult to grasp onto, difficult to get a lot of detail about. And that makes it very difficult then, therefore, to assess whether or not they indeed, well, whether they work. And then on the other hand, what kind of adverse humanitarian impact they would have if they were employed in a widespread way on the battlefield.
True sound of all true sounds, true voice of all true voices, true God of all true gods, Lord, hear our prayer.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Execute your absolute command, which is our absolute convocation. Your will, which is our will. Your eternal sounding, which is our eternal call. Lord, hear our prayer.
Lord, hear our prayer.
We who long to hear you await the power of your glory. For the last sound on earth shall be the first sound in paradise. Lord, hear our prayer.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Tumbling down.
Some reason or another, you sound a little taller on radio.